With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Every morning, Terry and Armstrong talk Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 12th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Iman. How you doing, Iman?
I'm great. It's my first update of this season. I'm like saddened to say that I can't be around as much this season because my morning schedule is sort of like all over the place, but I'm glad that I at least got to get in on this first week. Well, yeah, still the first week of Big Brother Canada, because it's been a lot. We have been given a lot of material to chew on, and we haven't had something like this in a while, so it's so exciting. I was like, Big Brother Canada, is that you? Like, I haven't seen you in 2 years, girl. How you been? Like,
yeah, it's nuts. The house has been crazy, and I will say that we did get a little bit of a slower day on the feeds. But before we get into the feeds, I want to talk about the episode last night. If you're here for the episode recap, we will not be spoiling anything from post episode until we get into the live feed update. So we're going to spend like maybe 10-15 minutes just talking about the episode, if that long. There's really not a lot to talk about sometimes with the episodes. But we're going to talk about last night and what we learned and what we saw on the episode, which was, I got to say, I don't know if this episode clarified anything to me from like what's been going on the feeds.
No, I mean, at first I was like, okay, this is like a fairly consistent, you know, with the feeds. I'm able to follow along. And then all of a sudden, towards the middle, towards the end, they decided to flip things on its head. And I was like, okay, well, BB Can's going to BB Can. You can't get them all. So,
yeah. So we saw a couple of like, you know, scenes of, you know, like Kyle and Ree like picking each other up, not like physically, but, you know, spiritually. And we saw, JL talking about how babies are like dumb pets, and stuff like that. But for the most part, honestly, I think the first half of the episode or so, it felt like most of that content came from, before the veto or before the nominations happened. It was a lot of like the setup for the plan, which is that they're going to pretend that Min is the target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it this week has been chock full of so much gameplay that it felt like watching all of that footage, it felt like I was like being taken back to last month, because that's how long it just feels like the seed has been going on for so long. But we got to see Min talking about, you know, setting herself up, going to Chris and to Sue saying, hey, just let them know that it's me, like I'm the back door, like that Min girl, she's drama, she's nasty, just get her out, and that'll be the perfect thing to placate the evictors. They won't see it coming. And Sue and Chris were like, yeah, let's do it. let's get this show on the road.
Yes. And so we see the plan set up that Maddie and JL and Michael, they're all told, hey, the backdoor plan is to get rid of Min. And that's why Brooke and Hira are on the block. Now, this actually happened before the nomination ceremony happened. So this was them explaining what the plan will be, as opposed to explaining what the plan is now that Brooke and Hira are both on the block. But that's okay. That's the kind of rearranging that makes a little bit of sense. They didn't have room for it in the previous episode, and it's more relevant to this episode. And so they're just kind of pretending that it's happening here. But logically, it doesn't really matter whether he told them before or after. The point is that JL and Michael are like, this is a really smart plan. I really like this plan that he has to backdoor Min.
It's already been talked about on previous updates, but they barely spoke to Chris. And then all of a sudden, when it's time for nominations to start being decided upon, that's when they're all up in the room. And I guess, you know, they just felt like, okay, as long as it's not one of us, then this is like the perfect plan. I'm so for this. And it's just like, how can you ever feel so comfortable when you haven't even spoken to the HOH? It's just, I mean, the hubris is just like mind blowing at this point, but hey, it ain't my game. So whatever.
Yeah. And they're all about it. They're happy about it. It's a back door. Min's going to be lied to. What an exciting game this is that they're playing. Keep that in mind for tonight's episode. So that's going on there. We're also going to see the veto competition happen. They are on all fours and they're dragging a sled behind them and they have to pick up fish with their mouths and then arrange them in a particular order. Honestly, I don't know if it didn't necessarily look as brutal as the aftermath was on the feeds. But if you are here to hear what was on the episode versus the feeds, this was incredibly brutal on the players.
Yeah, I was watching this thing and I was expecting like snow machines to be blowing right in their face. I was expecting them to just be dunking their entire bodies in like heaps and heaps of fake plastic snow. But no, they were running along or, you know, on all fours along this ice track, dipping their heads in the water, going back, putting the fish on the rack. And yeah, their knees were scuffed up. Those knee pads did not seem to be, the knee pads were not working. They should probably focus on getting a different brand if they do something like this again. But like, I was so shocked to see that Vanessa was coughing up blood from the snow. I mean, the snow was falling, but I don't know. It just seemed like this was supposed to be like this brutal ass competition. And yet it seemed like fairly consistent with stuff that we've seen on the show, if not like more on the milder end than stuff that we've seen in past competitions. So it's a very weird cognitive dissonance thing going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was the fake snow that was all over the place, probably being kicked up, breathed in. It probably was falling into the water and they were like, into the water, as they were trying to grab the fish. But yeah, they were all coughing, Vanessa in particular, coughing up blood. She's still coughing really badly to this day. They compete here. I saw Mel in the chat point this out. Vanessa was running, like crouch running instead of on her knees, which probably helped save her knees as opposed to somebody like Brooke whose knees were just like demolished.
Her knees were streets of Baghdad, ridiculous.
So ultimately, though, we're going to see Hira take this one, and Hira will be safe for the week, Amon.
Yeah, it was a solid win too. Like we saw him going back and forth, and then obviously he went for the buzzer, but it wasn't quite correct. But he only had about three wrong, and then he was able to quickly discover which ones were not in place. So it was a well-deserved win because it does seem like it was a bit of like a grueling competition. So I was pleased to see him sort of like not give up and really persevere through all of that. So good for Hira. I was clapping when I was watching last night.
Yes, we receive our first bombshell of the night, though, as Vanessa, in a diary room session during the veto competition, says to us, "Hey, I gotta win this competition so that I can take my buddy Brooke off the block. We gotta make sure that I can take my buddy Brooke off of the block." And I was just like, wait, what? Now, to set this into some context, if you haven't been listening to all of the podcasts about the feeds because you're a show recap listener, Vanessa has been trying to keep Brooke on the block for reasons that we cannot figure out. She is in an alliance with Brooke, but she has repeatedly attempted to get Brooke to go on and stay on the block for as long as the feeds have been on. She actually at one point convinced Chris that he should not get Brooke off the block and instead that Hira should be the one to come off the block, and then told the rest of the alliance that it was all Chris's idea and that she tried to argue against it, which is very, very much not the case. But then luckily for Brooke, although it didn't matter anyway, Sue goes in there and changes Chris's mind again. But Vanessa has been trying to get Brooke to stay on the block. And then there she is in the diary room saying not only does she want to take Brooke off the block, but she's also my buddy Brooke, which a lot of trash talking on the feeds would seem to indicate otherwise. I don't know what she's talking about in the diary room, Aman.
And neither does she. You know, I was thinking maybe she's like one of these weird ass players that thinks that the diary room is a shrine of truth and mystique, and the diary room people are the only people that she's telling her deepest, darkest inner thoughts. And I would almost believe that if she didn't spend so much time telling everybody else that Brooke was like the she devil. It makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. And I really like what I just want to know what PA was in the diary room that day that coaxed that out of her. What did you have to say to her to get those words to get her to fix her lips to say that? It was the weirdest thing ever. Weird. Yeah. Weird.
I don't know. And I don't think she knows. I really don't. Like, I've noticed on the feeds. If you watch Vanessa on the feeds or just on the show, she never disagrees. She always agrees with you emphatically. Mm-hmm. And then like adds on to it a lot. And the only times she ever disagrees are when she's trying to get Brooke to stay on the block. Otherwise, she will just agree with everything you say. Oh, yes, absolutely. And this, too. The worst or the best or whatever. At first, I thought this is just part of her strategy. She is trying to just be agreeable to the people that are around her. But I'm starting to think that she just, like, in her brain, her brain actually starts to agree with everything that somebody, that the next person tells her, right? I don't know. It's all over the place here. It's crazy.
No, I think you're right. I think she's one of those people that is like what's like the inverse of like a pathological liar, like a pathological, like, yes girl. Like she just has to. It's weird.
I just think like there's no, you know how truth works and facts work? There's like a through line. There's just like some things are just true and some things are just false, right? I think that there's no such through line in Vanessa's mind. That things are just this nebulous version of true and false, and it doesn't even matter. They just constantly shift and change, and it's a wild world in there.
which would be rather sophisticated if it were, you know, like, you know, a means to an end. But right now, I just feel like it's just a means, and it's not really. It's very baffling. It's very baffling shit, but it makes it very compelling to watch. I will admit that.
So to add to this, in the episode, they're going to make it even worse in the edit, because what they show is that Min is in the hot tub with Vanessa and Carol, and Min starts talking about backdooring Kyle. And then we get a diary room from Vanessa where she says, "Oh no, why would you do this? Don't you know that Kyle is my number one? Don't you know that we're so close? Why would you pitch to me that you're going to backdoor Kyle? What a dumb move." And then she goes to Kyle, and Kyle goes to Chris, and they pitch that Min should actually be backdoored, which I sort of understand why they did it this way. That's a series of events that maybe makes a little bit of sense, right? Mm-hmm. Here's what actually happened. Min did not go to Vanessa to say she wanted to backdoor Kyle first. That happened after Kyle pitched to Chris that Min needs to go because Min said she was going to backdoor him. Because what happened first is that Vanessa made up a lie that didn't happen and claimed that Min wanted to backdoor Kyle, said that to Kyle in order to get Min backdoored. Then, after the backdoor pitch happened, Min was talking to Vanessa, and Vanessa had been acting cold to Min, and Vanessa blamed Kyle for it and turned Min against Kyle and convinced Min that she should want to backdoor Kyle, at which point Min finally said, "Okay, well, what I think I'm going to do then is backdoor Kyle." And at that point, Vanessa was actually on board and encouraging it, which makes the diary room even more confusing, because what is she reacting to in the diary room if it didn't actually happen until she was on board? Unless she's not really on board and she's been playing Min this whole time, but that doesn't make any sense because, again, she's been actively trying to get Kyle out of the game for such a long time. And it's like she's lying somewhere. Unless she just doesn't understand that lies and truth are different things.
I really hope that the rest of the chat is enjoying the malfunction that's happening live on this morning update with Mr. Robot. But yes, I mean, it's insane. Once again, like what is the diary room? Like what's happening there that they are getting her to say these things, especially in this very weird context? And why, I forget who was on the feed that was saying like that production must hate our season because it's so wacko mumbo jumbo. There's so much plans that get conflated and then get dismissed and tossed aside and then reawakened. And it's just, it's very, very hard to keep track of. But I just feel like they're making it even worse for themselves, because this doesn't even make, like, they're adding so much more work onto this narrative that does not need to be there. And it's so, I'm about to stop. Like, I'm like, do I even want to watch like the Sunday and Wednesday episodes? Maybe I'll just watch the Thursday episodes and call it a season and just keep watching the feeds, because this is I was getting confused. I was like, wait a second. Didn't that happen before when Kyle was like mad about finding out about him being, her about being mad, but then they flipped it back to Min, but then Min was like, actually, wait, no, that he was lying. And I was like, what is going on here? What, like, what is this? Why? Okay.
Let me propose a theory here for Vanessa's diary rooms, right? Brooke is my buddy. Why is she saying that? I think that Vanessa, she has some kind of resentment toward Brooke that she doesn't want to admit. And so she's been trying to get Brooke to go on the block, stay on the block, and potentially even send Brooke home for all we know. And so she wants Brooke gone. She has some kind of resentment there, but she does not want to admit it. And so that's why she's trying to do these things. She thinks she's being very subtle, but we on the live feeds obviously see what she's doing. But to everybody else in the house, she's like, no, I love Brooke. I would never want her to go, unless somebody's trash talking Brooke, in which case she can finally open up and sort of like be like, yes, she is the worst. But for everybody else, she's pretending that's not the case. And same for the diary room. I think that she is unwilling to admit her resentment toward Brooke in the diary room. And so she's pretending in the diary room that she's her buddy, Brooke, thinking that she can get away with it.
Being like Tiffany from BB18, I couldn't even bring herself to say that she was Vanessa's sister when we all know that she's Vanessa's sister.
Basically, yeah, that's exactly what it is, Vanessa. Then I think what happened in the case of the Min wants to backdoor Kyle, I think that Vanessa once again was unwilling to admit that she made it up at first, right? I think that when they got her in the diary room to explain the situation, she was like, what? No, I didn't make anything up. It really happened. It happened in the hot tub. And they were like, but you said that before. She was like, no, she told me. Why would she tell me that? That was nuts of her. I think she was unwilling. I think she's unwilling to admit her like very devious, parts of her game, to the diary room. Not only because they're devious, but I think because she made such a big mistake, right? The reason she convinced Kyle that Min wanted to backdoor her was because she thought that Min had betrayed her, and then Min convinced her otherwise. And I think she's embarrassed about it and doesn't want to admit that she made this up about Min. Like when Min is telling Vanessa, I'm so glad we cleared this up before anything crazy happened. Vanessa was like, ooh, I did just try to get you backdoored. And I think she doesn't want to admit that in the diary room. That is the most logical explanation I can possibly think of. If it's not that, which doesn't explain her behavior in the first place, but it does potentially explain her behavior in the diary room. But it's still a big mess.
Well, this is all true. I gotta say, this is like really speaking to like the meta strategy of it all and like how players feel like they now have to play production. I mean, because we already see a bit of that happening with Survivor, and now she's like so focused on sanitizing her narrative that she can't even be honest in her diary. So it's like that's a lot to put on oneself. I feel like you're so much more like mentally. I feel like it's less mental stress on yourself to go to the diary room and say, oh man, I really thought that that Min didn't have my back here, but it's looking like she might actually be a really good asset. So let me just go ahead and lie my face off out there, but I can admit my own wrongdoing in the diary room. But if she can't even seem to do that, that is like, that's sort of like reaching like Vanessa level of like Vanessa BB17 level of like paranoia and like control freakness, that's like, she's going to burn out. Well, she's going to burn herself out.
To be clear though, I don't think that she's doing it to play production or play the audience. I think that it's just a natural instinct that she doesn't want to admit when she makes mistakes, and she doesn't want to admit these secret resentments that she's harboring. Like, I don't think it's like, oh, I need to make sure the audience likes me, or I need to like make sure that my image is portrayed in a certain way. I think that this is just who she is, and she just operates on this level, right? I don't think that there's like a sort of mastermind scheme behind it or anything. And we can tell because of how she operates in the house when we see everything.
Right. Either way, man, like that's just like you got to be honest with somebody. You know what I mean? Like, whoo, that's a lot. That's a lot to chew on.
Yeah. So that's what's going on. Like, if you're just watching the show and you're trying to, you know, get a good sense of who these people are, just pay attention to Vanessa in the diary room. Whatever she's saying is probably the opposite of what she's doing. We do finally, though, get to the veto ceremony, and we see the blind side. I gotta say, though, Amon, I tweeted this out. It just felt a little anticlimactic to me. It just was a little bit like, all right, and Michael. And then even the shocked faces were a little bit like,
yeah,
not like it was like
I feel, and normally, because I feel like, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but normally as soon as the veto replacement is replaced, then that's when everything goes into slow motion and the back music drops in, and then they start getting the diagram about like what they're going to plan for like going moving forward. But this time around, they sort of like delayed that because it was so anticlimactic that they had to like push that out. They had to get the footage of Maddie saying, "You're such a liar." And then they had to get the footage of John Luke like slamming everything around because of the fact that when the initial reaction was just so like, even Michael was just like, and he's like, King shocked face, constant shock face. And even then he was just like, okay, like, I guess I got to get up now. It's just like both the nomination ceremony and the veto ceremony this week have just been subpar. And it's very unnerving.
Which is strange because they've been talking about it in the House, like it was this really big moment.
Yes.
And it makes me feel like the editing failed us here. Not only like we usually talk about the editing as in the storytelling, what they're deciding to show and in what order. But what I mean by this is just the actual portrayal of this particular event. It was so cut up. It's like in movies when there are action scenes and like it's just like cut versus like longer takes of action scenes. The longer takes are almost always like much better because you can actually see what's happening. Like there were so many quick cuts and it felt like a lot of stuff was cut out for time or something, but it just felt so rushed. Like I think back to Big Brother 20, Swaggy gets backdoored at the veto ceremony, and the way they cut that together was unbelievably entertaining, and it was so dramatic. Like it felt like in my memory, it happened in slow motion, and I could see the emotion on every single person's face. Swaggy as he looks to Fessy, like, "Oh my God, what's happening?" As he goes up on the block, like I remember all the details of that scene from 2 years ago, and I just watched this last night and I barely remember anything about it. This Michael backdoor, and you know, it was just like, and it happened and we'll see you next time. Like, it just felt wrong. You know, that's unfortunately, I think, something that we've dealt with a lot on Big Brother Canada. But I did feel like last season, especially toward the end of the season, they were able to really milk some good moments, especially like at the end of the Pretty Boys reign, like, you know, Dane and Anthony breaking it down to Adam. I thought that was well done. So it's not like they can't put scenes together well, but I do feel like sometimes they really drop the ball on these like big game moments.
Yeah, I mean, we're also like have to remember like who the people are that we're talking about. Like, not a lot of them, you know, have a lot of fire to them, even when they are fighting. Like, I mean, Kyle and Michael were fighting on the feeds the other night, and you know, Kyle's a little bit feisty, but Michael is sort of like just so like even when he's angry, he's very just like, it's more of like an earnest anger than like a fiery anger. So like at the same time, I guess if you're not going to get like a big reaction from the guy that is getting backdoor, that sort of like brings all of the fervor down for everybody else. Cause if he's not popping off, then, you know, it's sort of like, oh, okay, well, you're not giving me what I want here, you know?
Yeah. I feel like there wasn't enough time though. I think it was the time spent. I'm willing to bet that if we like time the veto ceremony, it probably lasted like, it felt like it lasted 2 minutes tops. When it like a big moment like that should be much longer. We need just more reaction shots. We need more time to just kind of sit with it, and build up the tension as we wait to see, oh my God, Michael's about to go. And so I don't know. That's just my editing talk there. So
yeah.
Yeah. So we will, of course, have our eviction episode tonight. So we're going to get into the live feed update now. Again, it was kind of a slower day. So, you know, we'll go over the day. But if you're going to bounce out now, we will be live tonight after the episode to talk about everything that goes on there and the eviction and who goes home and all of that stuff. So make sure you tune in tonight. And of course, also you can tune in today for the Stockwatch stream. I will be on Twitch today, and then I will be podcasting about Survivor at 5, and then Big Brother Canada 8 after the episode. So you can basically just watch my entire day if you want. So thank you to the show watchers who
make
want
sure
to
you
bounce
subscribe
out now.
To the live feed of Taryn Armstrong.
Yes. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. And we're going to get into the live feed update now. So there's your warning. Here we go. Like I said, slower day. It was day 12 in the house. We started the day. Brooke, Carol, and Angie talk a bit. Now we know that Brooke or that Carol is kind of anti Brooke at the moment. She's really been, you know, against Brooke ever since she's been talking trash with Vanessa and Min about her, and they make fun of her laugh, and she thinks she's a liar. But they did have a couple of moments throughout the day, this day, that seems to be, you know, rekindling that relationship just a little bit. But Carol really does kind of want to vote Brooke out of the house. But they're talking. This is a moment where they talk about being underestimated in the house, Brooke, Carol, and Angie. Angie is another very important relationship with Brooke, for Brooke. Angie just like loves Brooke. She wants to protect Brooke at all costs. I talked about that the day before. And she's just, anytime anybody says anything bad about Brooke, she's like, no, how dare, that's our Brooke. You can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, Brooke really, really has to do herself a lot more favors in connecting with more of these people, because there are quite a few that have like this such a negative opinion of her, which is still a bit shocking for me. I mean, Brooke was never really a favorite of mine, but I know for a lot of the fans have related to her because she's, you know, a bit of like the nerdy archetype. Obviously, a super fan of the game, very cerebral, thinks a lot. Like, she's just she thinks a lot. She thinks a lot about the game. I mean, she can talk, and she checks the doors before she can talk. So a lot of pluses there. But yeah, she's not, that's not really translating very well to a lot of the other people. I mean, especially in Carol and in Min, and especially if you're on the block, that just, it's just so much easier to talk crap about anybody on the block because you're on the block. So any time that she can get in with Carol is going to be an asset, because Carol already has such a natural relationship with Mike. Like, if it were up to Carol, Mike would be staying. Even with the way that the votes have shifted now, like, if you were to ask Carol, like, who do you really want to vote out? It'd be Brooke. So anytime that you can spend with her, get it on. Get it on, girl.
Yeah. Min is going to be causing a lot of chaos in the house today. We talked about Min on the roundtable that, you know, she started to gain some ground and then kept climbing and is now just in a full on sprint, just uphill sprint. And she can't turn it off. And I think she has now crested the peak of gameplay and is now sprinting downhill to some degree here. She's not doing herself too many favors. She put it together. What did she put together? She put together that she's with Jamar, but she does not like how close Jamar is with Sue. Now, we've seen this play out over the last few days to begin with, her talking with Sue, trying to tell Sue, you can't trust Jamar. He's a bad person. You can't trust him. Don't work with him. Talking to Jamar, telling him to stay away from Sue. But it's going to really come to a bit of a head here as she confronts Sue about working with Jamar. Are you working with him? Do you have a secret alliance with him? Sue says, no. I don't really talk game with him. Min says, I'm not stupid. You don't have to lie to me. I see you talk game with him all the time. You're always with him. And Sue's like, yeah, I mean, I talk game with him. Like I talk game with you, with Kyle, like with anybody. Like it's nothing intense or crazy. Just like anybody would talk game. You talk game with him too, right? Like it's nothing, like it's not anything like what you're saying. And Min says, look, you don't need to get jumpy about it. I just don't appreciate being lied to. Who comes to interrupt? But Jamar comes in, puts his arm around Sue, and says, "Like, hey, what's up?" And that just makes it much worse.
He did on purpose. He did that shit on purpose. Okay. Min has this penchant for like getting the truth out of people, but she has to slap you in the face while she does it. It's just like. There's very little grace when it comes to how she confronts people that she has an issue with. And it's always like, she always disguises it with like a, look, I'm just being honest. I'm an honest person. Like, and I'm just trying to tell you how it is. But I'm also going to do it in like this bitchy way, but like, I'm going to get the truth out of you. So you might as well just level with me real quick. Okay. Which is like, a bit effective depending on who's talking to, like somebody like Sue, she was like, you know what? Like girl, like, yeah, like look, Jamar wants to hang out with me. He does. Like you happy? Like, and then they proceed to be able to like, you know, have some game talk. And Min's like, okay, well now that we've gotten that out of the way, now I feel like I can work with you. But it's like, girl, no one's going to really want to work with you like that. That's exhausting. Have to deal with.
And just to make sure you guys are aware, Sue has a boyfriend. Like, she has no interest in Jamar. He flirts with her. She doesn't even like it very much, but she just feels like I've got to deal with it because that's my role in the house, is that Chris flirts with me. Jamar flirts with me. I draw a line at like cuddling, right? Because I've got a boyfriend, but you know, I got to do what I got to do in this house, these guys. But I definitely do not get any indication that Sue has any interest in Jamar. Now, Jamar very well might have some serious interest in Sue, but that's another story and has nothing to do with Sue. Right? So. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, Min really like just honing in on this and being very focused on this particular situation is really going to hurt her game. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. Another thing that Min has been doing lately is she has kind of been leaving Hira out to dry a little bit. Now, I talked a couple of days ago about how she was talking with Hira, trying to make a final two with him, trying to like be like, hey, we're working together. But her focus has been elsewhere, and Hira is a guy that really requires a lot of maintenance. If he feels like he's left out, then he's going to be like, he's going to drift away elsewhere. And the people that have been doing maintenance are both the evictors and Sheldon, Brooke, Sue, and Jamar. And so he's really starting to gravitate toward those other groups, and he hasn't really talked with Min much, and that relationship seems to be deteriorating. Now, we'll see what happens, but he is going to talk with Maddie and Michael early in the morning, and he says that he's disappointed that people are playing dirty, but if they are, he'll play dirty back. And so that's where Hira stands right now. He tells Mike, just chill today. Push hard tomorrow morning. You never know. But just chill today, which I think is one of the reasons why the day was fairly chill. Because Michael took that to mean, I don't know if it was entirely because of Hira or this is just what he would do anyway, right? Because it's probably what he would do anyway. But Michael spends almost the entire day hanging out with Maddie, talking to no one except for Ree or JL. He talked to Sheldon like a little bit, but really just barely talking to anybody. There's some information that they're supposed to study for the HOH. Doesn't study, doesn't campaign, just spends his whole day complaining about how he was lied to and what bad people they are and what good people him and Maddie are and all of this stuff. It's extremely tiresome.
Just like change your name from the Evictors to the Pontificators, please. Like just it's come on. Like, and you know,
the guy that came into the show saying, yeah, I don't like victim noises. Like, he is one of the biggest complainers I have seen in a while.
Just edit out all of the shots with the muscles and everything and just make the entire intro package him with that puppy. Because that's all that I'm getting. That's the energy. I'm getting puppy energy from him. And you know what? If that's your personality, fine. If you're that nice of a guy that you cannot bring yourself to lie and to degrade and to play Big Brother, then that's fine. You can go. You can go. Like, if this is not your arena, that is completely fine. But don't sit up here. Especially not, you know, I don't even want to see, you know what? No, I'm about to lie to myself and I don't want to see you, like, you know, campaign today on the feeds because it's probably going to be very entertaining. But like, it's just, everything has been too little too late with you guys. And I feel like you guys just never learn your lesson. More so, Rianne has learned her lesson. John Lucas, we see him begin to learn his lesson. And even Maddie, like, she's a little sloppy, but
she's distracted right now.
Yeah, but at least she's out there, you know, trying to, on his behalf, mind you, get these votes. But it's just,
yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing too, like, this idea that like he's too good for the game and that like all of these other people are terrible. Like, if he was as like kind and honest and as good a person as he's claiming to be, right? Then he wouldn't be acting this way, because like the like kind good people would be like, man, I'm not suited for this game. Clearly this game rewards behavior that I am not good at, right? Admitting your own fault, this isn't a good thing for me in this game. I'm just not good at it. And these other people, they're not bad people for playing the game. Obviously, they're just playing the game and they're better at it than I am. Like, that's what a good person would say, right? Like, because you're a good person and you don't attack people and judge them for things that aren't actually immoral. Trying to impose your moral beliefs, which are entirely beholden to your current circumstances, on other people. That's not what good people do, sir. That's not how it works. Especially if they're incredibly hypocritical. So because you were super on board with this doing the exact same thing to men. Get out of the house, dude. Just get out of here.
It's a lot. And it's like, there was a moment in time about 2 days ago where I was like, oh, you know what? Like, I wouldn't mind Mike actually staying. Like, I want to see, like, he's starting to get fired up. I want to see him actually play. But like, now it's like, even if he were to stay, I really don't even see a path forward for you, because you've now just preached this sanitized game. You're going to go around and tell everybody what's going to happen, which I'm pretty sure you can't even. Isn't that like in the rule book that you're not allowed to tell the nominees that they're going to be nominees? It's going to be different for every other candidate, but I thought that was like a part of the rule book. Yeah. You weren't allowed to.
Nobody follows the rule, but it is a rule.
Right. So like you're not even really allowed to do that. And like, I really, if that's the game that you're promising, that's what you're going to be bringing around the mountain, then bye. Like, I'm good. We don't need that. This season has been going pretty well so far. And if you have to be the first casualty, then so be it.
Yeah.
So be it.
Niceness in order to cast judgment on others is not niceness. I would not say I'm so nice, which is why I'm being mean to Michael right now. No, I'm being judgy to Michael right now, and I can own that. All right. So, Min is going to talk with Vanessa and Carol, about the Jamar situation, right? So here's what she put together and why she confronted Sue. She says that Jamar, that Kyle came to her and was wondering if she was planning to backdoor him, right? She's like, how did he know? How did he know? The only people that know are you, Vanessa, Carol, and Jamar. So Jamar must have told him. Jamar is the devil. He's playing his own game. And you know what? Sue is his minion bitch. Sue is his bitch. He controls her. He just intimidates her. And she just does everything he wants. She says, Vanessa, who do you think Kyle, who do you think told Kyle? Cause I don't know what Kyle, when Kyle said this, he said, ask Vanessa. I don't know why he'd say that. Cause it was Vanessa that said it. She said, I don't know why he said ask you, but do you know? I mean, do you have any idea? I'm assuming it's Jamar. Vanessa's like, I mean, it was probably like Mike, right? Like,
oh, girl, take the bait. Like, she gave it to you. Like, she gave you an out, and you're like, ugh.
Yeah, Min.
That was so awkward.
Min doesn't buy it. I don't think it was Mike. I've barely told Mike any. She did tell Mike quite a lot, but why would Mike tell Kyle? That doesn't make any sense. And so Vanessa's just like, oh, I don't know. I'm confused. I don't know. I don't understand this whole situation. Min says that the plan that she wants to do, she wants to try and reel in some of the remaining three. That she says that here's her plan for targeting. She wants to target Kyle, Sue, Angie, and then Rhi. Those are the four people she hates the most. The fact that Rhi is still good with everybody else is concerning. After all of this stuff going down. So she would be the fourth on that hit list. And so after Min leaves, just very quickly, that Carol goes up to Vanessa. She says, you know what I would do? I would put up JL and Maddie and then backdoor somebody. And then Vanessa said, I would put up JL and Rhi and she'd want to backdoor somebody. They didn't say who that somebody was because the feed's cut to Sue versus Min part two. Mm-hmm. Sue's like, so what was that about earlier? And she says again, like, just Jamar situation. Sue says, I only talked to Jamar to find out information. Like, it's this is not what you think it is. And Min says, don't you remember what I told you about him when I said you couldn't trust him? That hasn't changed. Even if you see me hang out with him, I don't trust him. Okay. I don't trust him. And you shouldn't either. And you know what he told me? Jamar told me that he has you, Sue, in his back pocket. And Sue's like, great. That's exactly what I want him to think. And Min's like, no, but he's also the devil. And he's a bad person. And you shouldn't work with him if you think about it. Think about this. Kyle knows I want to backdoor him. How do you think he found that out? Has to be Jamar. Nobody else knows except for clearly you, because I'm telling you about it. Jamar must have ratted me out there. You can't trust him. Can't trust him. She says, she implied, she has implied to the four that she'd go after Kyle, but she said, everybody knows Kyle has to go. So, she's really working hard to try and ruin Sue and Jamar's relationship. It's just not working for her though.
I mean, you either want Jamar all to yourself, Min, or you don't. Like, this whole will they, won't they thing is very entertaining for us to watch, but it's just like, do you really want to be in this alliance with him? Do you really want all of him to yourself? Because you're going to have to be, he's going to have to talk to other people. Just how you're talking to him and you don't want everybody to think that you and him are like together, that's all. He's going to operate, and that's how Sue is going to operate. So it's like, you have to, like, you're not doing yourself any favors by playing like this very controlling. You want to be able to control all of the relationships around you. You want to be able to tell people certain information that's going to separate them. And then you get pissed off when it doesn't work. And it's like, but you just said that you're not with him either. So how does, if it's good for the goose, then it's good for the gander. Like, she's, oh. She's so crazy, and it's so, and it works when it works. But when it doesn't work, it does not work. And it's the most mind-numbing thing that I've seen. And I love it. And I hate it.
When she's focused on game, it works. When she gets distracted with, like, personal vendettas, that's when she goes off the rails, right? And that's what's really harming her. So they finish off the conversation with the typical, like, if it's me and you in the HOH, Min says, if it's me and you in the HOH, I'm letting you win. You know, after this conversation, I feel so much better with you, Sue. And Sue's like, I would love to work with you. And Min then says, okay, well, just as a heads up, you talking with everyone sketches people out. And Sue's like, who's saying that? And Min says, everyone. And when she says everyone, she means her, Vanessa, and Carol, who she was just in the hot tub area with. And she said, they say that you're the female Kyle, but also Kyle's minion. Sue's like, well, that's not good. This is going to be a little bit of a storyline for Sue's day today, that she got this heads up from Min about being the female Kyle.
I just love how Min does stuff like this, where she'll have a whole conversation where she just like tires you out. And then at the very end, she'll be like, okay, but listen, here's what you need to do now going forward. Because a lot of people have been coming to me and saying this, and like, I don't want to name names, but like just like in general, like people have been saying things and you really should work on this. Okay. Okay. Love you. Bye. Like, and then they're left with this information, like to just perseverate on it for the rest of the day, which only like adds to the frustration to Min, because Min is the person that told them. So they attribute all of that to her. It's just like, girl.
JL is going to have a conversation with Min, where Min is trying to reel him in. He understands that Mike is a goner at this point. He is going to, ask her questions, about the game. She's going to be working on him. He asks her at one point, do I need to be worried about Sue? And she's just like, you should be careful. You should be careful. You don't have many people in the house. You have me. You only really have me in the house.
Oh yeah, sure. Sure, girl.
All right, man. Like, well, let's make a deal to jury then. All right. I'm getting the voice, but he was like super like, all right, let's make a deal to jury then, bro. Like, let's make this happen. I think we can do something, you know. I fully expect you to turn on me once the jury hits, but that's fine as long as we make it there. Like, we're gonna make it work, all right?
Yeah, totally. Totally, JL, yeah.
So that happened. Jamar is going to talk with Sheldon, Brooke, and Sue. He comes in and talks. They were studying. So at this point, the Expedia room has expanded. Right.
Oh yeah.
Where the lounge was, the Blood Veto. It's now like a beach room.
I cannot believe that they really put all of that sand in there. Like, yeah, what the hell are they thinking?
Like, actually sand in there.
Like, I remember when they tried to do the same thing for BB18, and then they were like, you know what? Nah, clean that shit out. But they really went ahead and did this? They were already complaining that it's starting to get tracked. That's insane to me, but whatever. Yeah, not my house.
People weren't, like, nobody was hanging out in there for most of the day, even though it was a brand new room, because it's full of sand.
Like, come on. Like, why?
So that room's open. Also, on the big board in the Expedia room, there are now a list of cities and flights with like different times and delayed, canceled, you know, on time. Things are changing. So they are assuming that this board is something that they need to study in preparation for the upcoming HOH competition.
And how do you feel about it, Taryn? Because some of them are like, oh, it's the HOH. Some of them are probably like, no, it's probably like, it might have something to do with the HOH, but it probably has more to do with like winning a Expedia trip. Like, what do you think? Do you think it's just studying for the HOH, or do you think it's sort of like just a distraction?
You know, there has been some very loud construction happening for the last few days, like couple of days. Like it was happening yesterday. It was happening this morning. And so the quiz competitions, I feel like, usually don't require as much build work. It's like loud saw noises. Like sometimes they have elaborate booths, right? And like decoration around. So it could very easily be that. But who knows? You know, it always be anything. They usually have them studying. There's usually on Big Brother, there's, you know, for every time you study and it comes into the competition, there's, you know, two more times where you study and it doesn't come into a competition. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm sort of like of the mindset that it definitely has something to do with the HOH, but I don't know if it's strictly just mental or if it's more just a travel themed HOH that like harkens back to it. But we'll see.
Yeah. So Sheldon, Brooke, and Sue were in the Have Not Studying, and Jamar comes in. He had just been talking to Ree, who was kind of crying to him that she feels like Sue has been ducking her, that every time she goes to talk with Sue, she just kind of leaves and doesn't come back. And she feels like Sue is avoiding her. And so right after Sue was told that she talks to people too much and she's the female Kyle, she now has Jamar coming and saying, yeah, Ree's crying because you won't talk to her enough. And Sue's like, oh my God, I didn't mean to. And Sue says, you do that to me too, actually. You say all the time, you say, I'll be right back, and then you never come back. And Sue's like, oh my God, really? Like,
it's not that Sue is just like this mastermind trying to avoid people or trying to like talk to everybody in the house, is that she literally just forgets when she goes to the bathroom or goes to get some bread or goes to get some sand from the Expedia room. She just doesn't remember where she was. So she's like, oh, hi guys, what's going on?
Here's the thing about Sue, that like Sue, part of what makes Sue effective in the game is that she's a very natural people pleaser, and she's very good at it. And so that's why, like, she is the kind of person that, like, when you're in a group setting, she likes to go to everyone and make sure they're feeling all right. Make sure that they're feeling okay. Like, how's it going? You feeling all right? How, you know, is everything good? And if not, she'll talk with you and she'll try and make you feel better. We got a little bit of that segment on the episode where, you know, her and Min were talking about, like, how Min is like, get your own water or whatever. But she's too nice about it. That is who Sue is. And so she just very naturally has like this big social game where she talks to everybody. And a lot of people rely on her like that. Ree apparently is one of those people.
Yeah,
exactly. And so so she got in trouble a couple of times for not talking to people enough throughout the day, but she's also getting in trouble for talking to people too much because of how much she usually talks to people. So it's a weird balancing act that she tries to do. But Jamar gives her the heads up. You should go talk to Ree, later. Hira is then going to join them in that room, and Jamar quickly asks, all right, what's the name? What's our name? Because Hira, Jamar, Sheldon, Brooke, and Sue, they're trying to make a 5-person alliance. They're trying to come up with a name, but before they can do it, Kyle comes in and interrupts them, and so still no name. So in the meantime, Carol and Ree have a conversation where Carol tells Ree, look, I do want to vote to keep Michael, even if he doesn't stay in the game. Even if it ruins my game, I just feel like I owe it to him. And I need to go home to my family and be proud of the game that I played here. And you know what? I want to create some suspicion. I'll never, ever admit that I did this, but I want to vote to keep my, so she's basically saying she wants to cast a hinky vote, but she's never going to admit it to anybody except for 3 people. Ree, Maddie, and Jean-Luc, who will know, because Michael will also know, but he'll be going home. So I'm sure this is going to work out really well for her.
I can't remember if she was in the room when Jamar was like, don't nobody throw no damn hinky votes.
Yes, he is later going to say that she was there. And this morning it's been coming up. And in particular, Jamar has said to Brooke, I'm worried that Carol might cast a hinky vote. And Carol found out about it and went to Brooke and said, I am definitely 100% voting for you, Brooke. So this hinky vote plan is probably off the table now, but this was her plan earlier yesterday. Like, she got caught before it even happened.
Damn, I mean, so much for the integrity and being able to go back to your family with it intact. Bye, Michael.
But at the same time, don't be surprised if she still casts it thinking she can get away with it because she was so adamant that she wouldn't. Sue is going to have that conversation with Rhi. Rhi asks if she's avoiding her, and Sue's like, oh, no, definitely not. And Sue says, I want to work with you. I wouldn't target you, so on and so forth. Again, any conversation with Rhi is never strikes beneath the surface. So Jamar is going to talk with Min. Min is still feeling a little bit of a way, and Jamar is not going to help matters as they are under the covers, and Jamar is basically like, we can't be doing this stuff in front of people. Like, no more PDA. It's not good for our game. And now I don't know how much of this is game and how much of this is Jamar just, you know, being like, again, like high school, like, I'm playing hard to get. You have to come after me. I'm the one who controls the gate of the affection. And so he's like, can't do this. And Min is like, no, I refuse. He says, you're crazy. You hear that? You're crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely like a little bit of both. Like, Jamar has admitted on the feeds that like he likes to be the dominant one. Like, he likes to be the sexually aggressive one. And, well, bitch, you've met your match in Min, because clearly, like, she has been walking around this house, like, you know, not being quite shy about the people that she likes and what she wants. So now that you've been the aggressor, and she did a good job at the beginning of sort of like holding out, but then when she realizes that this guy's not really going anywhere, and then she's also like sort of bored, she's like, okay, well, if you want it, you can have it. And now Jamar's like, oh, okay. I'm sort of like, gotta protect my game, and I gotta protect my game, if you know what I mean. So it's like, it's not something that he really is, like, for lack of a better word, turned on by right now. So it's, you know, it's very strange, because obviously I think that they both like each other more than they care to admit, but they're also both players in more than one sense of the word. So it's just like, it's just a mess. You know, it's a mess.
Here's the dynamic. Jamar, in the one-on-one relationship, Jamar and Min, Jamar has all the power. He has complete control. Min is the one who's like, just like outright says, I want his, and I want to sleep with him, and I think it will be great, and I will want a lot more. And like, she really wants him. He knows it, and he has control over their relationship. But Min is not the kind of person that likes to be in that situation, and so she tries to control him through other, like, she tries to eliminate all of his other options, all of his social support. She's trying to go after the people around him because she can't win with him himself. And so that is kind of the dynamic that we're seeing play out. And we'll hear from her this is not me speculating. We'll hear from her directly that is basically what's happening later in the day. So they do talk about staging a fight, which, I mean, they do that all the time. And she also questions him again about Sue and, why are you always hanging out with Sue? And he's like, it's not like that. But that's continuing to go on. Jamar is going to talk with Carol a bit. They make fun of Michael for only starting to play the game after he got backdoored, he wasn't playing before. And he apparently went to Carol talking about, like, you know, when I think of you in this game, I also think about your wife and daughter. And she's like, excuse me. What does that mean? Why are you acting that way? Jamar's like, yeah, if I was campaigning, I'd just be like, look, you got me. I'll remember it. Like, that's how I will campaign. Not like, oh, your daughter will remember it.
Yeah, that's, now that I'm hearing that back again, that is kind of like, okay.
It's weird. Jamar is going to talk with Sue and Hira. They're talking, Jamar and Hira are saying they're worried about Kyle. They think that Kyle will switch things up and come after Jamar and Hira. And Sue says, that's not how it is. He's not coming for you. I'm telling you. She's trying to, again, argue these logical points. Sheldon and Brooker had been talking about this, that they keep explaining logically why it doesn't make sense for them to go after Kyle. Which again, completely correct arguments. It's not best for Jamar and Hira's game to go after Kyle right now. There's still a lot of other things that they can be doing. And honestly, Kyle's not even like the most dangerous person necessarily.
Really not.
But they're very focused on this particular point. And so the logical arguments are not working and they are just at this impasse. Sue is trying to sell JL as a bigger target. They don't buy that at all. And Jamar says, I don't understand why you, Shells, and Brooke are just, you know, all up on Kyle like this so bad. You know, all up on Kyle's anatomy so bad. And so Sue's just like, that's not how it is. She goes and grabs Sheldon and Brooke and they start to have a conversation about this, but again, it gets interrupted. So Sheldon
Jamar has just been chomping at the bit to get him out of there. Like, it's just, I just think that it's something that Jamar just needs, not only for him, like, not for his game, but just for himself. Like, I mean, even when Kyle and Mike were having that argument in the kitchen the other night, like, he was just looking for any reason to, like, get in on that argument. And, like, they were like, and Kyle was like, no, like, I don't, like, Jamar, like, we're good. Like, I don't want that. But Jamar is just still just like, gotta get him out, backdoor his ass. I'm like, man, like you are like in one of the best positions in the house and you will seriously change the atmosphere of your entire game if you try and go through with this next week. But okay. Yeah. Okay.
Sheldon and Brooke talk a bit. They're talking about their alliance. Again, Sheldon and Brooke talk a lot. They just continually gravitate toward one another. You can tell that they're only really comfortable with each other. We're going to hear from Brooke when she's talking to Sue that, you know, Sue asks about Sheldon again, and Brooke is going to kind of admit, like, yeah, she's got a bit of a crush. But she doesn't think he sees it that way and she's not into it in that way in the game. I think she's got a bit of a crush and for him, she's just like the only person he feels comfortable around. And so they just really gravitate and they end up talking around in circles about strategy in the game just a lot because they'd rather be hanging out with each other than anybody else. It's not great for their game, especially because their choice of location is always so public. They really like that couch at the top of the stairs where they're just visible to the entire house at all times. So they gotta figure that out.
I was thinking about that because like that sort of like happened a lot in BB21 too, where like people were just like, having game talk like right out in the open, and I was starting to see a little bit of that with BB Can as well. And it's just like, is this like where the game is headed, where people are like just so, people are expecting the other house guests to be so self-absorbed that they're able to just have conversations like out in the open and not really think of it as anything bad? Is that a thing now? It's very strange to me.
I think that they're worried, like, yeah, so I think that they're worried that having conversations behind closed doors is more sketchy. And so they think that if we're hanging out publicly, then we don't look as sketchy.
Hiding in plain sight.
Exactly. They think it works that way, but it doesn't work that way. Not being seen is, if you're out of sight, you're out of mind. If both Brooke and Sheldon are missing from like the house, then people just assume that they're somewhere else with other people. There's so many people in the house right now that they won't just assume that they're off by themselves unless all 13 other house guests are together and just Brooke and Sheldon are missing. But even then, it still takes them going, wait a minute, where are Brooke and Sheldon, to actually think about them being together alone, as opposed to, oh, they're right there together by themselves. Anyway, they're talking. Sheldon is talking about, like, he's like, I have been wondering, like, are we with the right people? Like, I was thinking about a world where Hira is our number one. Like, he's such a great guy. But I just don't know if it makes sense. I don't think we can trust him. He's too attached to the other side. Brooke asks him, what's your list of people, that you trust, you want to work with? He says, you're number one. Kyle is number two. And then, I don't know, between Jamar and Sue, Sue is more valuable in terms of, like, she's a glue for the rest of the house. Like, she helps bring people in a lot, but he feels like Jamar is maybe a little more loyal. He says, I like Sue. She's so valuable, but there's just something off about her. I just can't put my finger on it. And I think what he's thinking about is that she is such a people pleaser, and she has so many relationships and so many conversations, and she's very good, and that probably worries him on a subconscious level. But that's kind of like his top four there, and I think maybe I'm not sure who else would fall in there, but it was a little bit good to not hear him say Vanessa, because that would be a nightmare.
I liked listening to them talk, because both they sort of, like, handle this game in a similar fashion and really, like, hashing things out and really thinking about, like, what's the best option, like, being at least attempting to be self-aware, but not aware enough to know that the rest of the house really just does not want Kyle there. And eventually you're going to have to, like, either going to have to jump ship, or you have to do something, because it's just not good to be the constant, like, poster child for Kyle when everybody else is just like, get him out of here. So I think it's a nice little package to have, like, to have Jamar, to have Sue, to have Brooke. Like, it's a good, I think all four of them really, I mean, with the exception of Brooke, because Brooke is on the block, but once she comes back into the fold, I think all of them, like, have enough of, like, of a connection with the rest of the pockets in the house that they could move well if they worked well with one another.
Yeah, they also have been talking about JL and trying to work on JL. They think they have a good relationship with him. They feel comfortable with him winning. They feel like he wouldn't come after them. And they talk about Sheldon approaching JL with some kind of, like, arrangement. Sheldon says, do you think it would work if I offered him we don't come after each other until at least jury? And Brooke says, I don't think you need to make an explicit deal like that. I don't think you need to make promises. I think you can just kind of leave it unsaid, which is exactly the problem that they're having in this game, is that they're too conservative in their gameplay. I think that JL absolutely wants a kind of deal like that. And he has one with Min now.
If you guys are, like, trying to, like, create, like, this, like, nebulous, like, type atmosphere where it's like you can leave room for error, but it's like that's the error, because he's looking for something, like, he wants like something solid, because right now he's floating because Mike is about to leave. He knows that the rest of the evictors are, like, up for grabs. Essentially, he's probably thinking, oh my God, if they got Mike up and I'm next because I'm the guy. So, like, he needs something to, like, plant him down, and not giving him that is, I mean, while you might think he might be happy to get anything that he can get, like, it's better. You might as well, like, promise him something, because even if you decide to renege on it, at least you have him for that next week or so
wants to feel, people want to feel secure, and so when they're insecure in the game, like JL is right now, the person who offers them the most amount of security is usually the person that's going to be able to pick them up, and you can't assume that you're the only person who's thought of this. So you need to be offering a great deal, and if you need to renege on it later, you just do that. Mm-hmm. You can bounce checks in the Big Brother house.
Bounce checks, baby. Bounce checks.
All right. So Brooke is also going to talk about how she had a conversation with Min. Now, remember, Min, Vanessa, and Carol have been making fun of Brooke for what they call her fake laugh. Her fake laugh is actually her real laugh. She was actually having a conversation at some point during the day with Sue and a bunch of other people. Sue was talking about how she's had issues with her voice. that she's had to, you know, she would lose her voice a lot because, like, the way that she speaks puts strain on her voice. She had to, like, use vocal coaches to help make it so that she doesn't lose her voice all the time. It's really damaging to her vocal cords. And Brooke was like, I have the same thing. The way that I talk is not my natural speaking voice. My natural speaking voice is much higher, but I speak a lot more, a lot lower, like I'm speaking sarcastically a lot. I am always talking like I'm sarcastic in a lower tone than my actual voice, and it puts strain on my vocal cords. And she, it's to the point, like, she can't not do it. She doesn't know how to, like, consciously change it. But we do see sometimes that, like, she goes into what Sheldon calls her baby voice, which annoys him a lot, but that's her actual voice, that doesn't put strain on her vocal cords. And so this also impacts her laugh, which is also, like, just her voice in general seems to annoy people, and her laugh annoys people, and they feel like it's fake and forced because that's just kind of how her voice works, right? So they were making fun of that, and then Min decided to take it upon herself to, when speaking with Brooke, publicly go, hey, Brooke, can you do your fake laugh for us? Brooke was like, excuse me?
God.
My fake laugh?
Who are you, Ika?
Yeah.
You know how, like, there's, like, this segment on Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel where it's, like, celebrities read mean tweets? How about we just have, like, Big Brother alumni read Min Lee advice tweets? This girl just cannot help herself. I felt so bad for her.
Yeah, so Brooke is like, I thought I was good with her, but I think she hates me. Like, that was mean. And so she talks to Sue about it, and Sue is like, oh my God, you don't even know the thing she talked to me about this morning. Sue says, I want her gone next week. I want Min gone. And Brooke's like, I mean, yeah. I mean, I just don't know how to handle her. Like, I keep thinking that I'm good with her, and then she does things like this, and I'm like, I don't know. I just don't know how I'm going to be able to handle her in this game. Brooke also confides in Carol about this. She talks about Carol. She talked with Sue and Carol both about how they feel that Min is very possessive of Jamar. And then when they were thinking about it, they were like, but also all the guys, maybe? Like, she's just very possessive about, like, male attention, maybe? And so she's talking to that. Carol suggests that Brooke just talk with Min about this. So she does. She goes to Min. She says, hey, you said my fake laugh. I don't have a fake laugh. And it just kind of hurt my feelings. And I felt like you saying that publicly made me look bad. And Min says, oh, my God, I didn't mean it that way. I was just joking. I don't think you have a fake laugh. Damage control. Well done, damage control. I'm sorry. But you know what? Now that you say that, I feel that way with a lot of people, too. I feel like Sheldon does that to me all the time. He says things. It's a social game, and he's making fun of me publicly, and I feel like that's bad for my social game. Thank you so much that you've made me realize that I am even more of a victim than you are, Brooke, of this. So she wants to go and talk with everyone. Thank you so much for giving me the words to now go and talk to other people about this. And so Min is going to have a conversation with Sheldon where she talks to him about it. He's a lot less receptive. He's just like, all right.
It's like, girl, get out of here.
I won't make fun of you publicly then. If you're sensitive to it, that's fine. I just won't do it. She's like, I'm not sensitive. He's like, well, what I mean is that you're sensitive to it in the game, that there's something about it that you're sensitive to, that you don't want me to do this. She's like, don't make, like, is this awkward? He's like, no, it's not awkward, which is fine. I'm just not going to do it anymore. And so, Sheldon just needs, like I tweeted this out. He just needs, like, 30% more warmth in his interactions with others if he wants to be as effective as he wants to be in the game.
Exactly. He's trying to be, like, he's trying to shut it down, and he's trying to be like, oh, like, well, no problem. Like, I'm good with not doing that if it makes you upset. And he thinks that he's being comforting and consoling, but it comes off as dismissive and not, like, are you hearing the actual issue, or are you just, like, trying to get rid of it and just, like, obfuscated. It's like, it's crazy. But I must say, like, just to backtrack real quick, I thought that was very well done on Min's part to really just, you know, get Brooke to calm down and then say, and be like, oh, you know what? Now that you say that, that really, I have the exact same issue. So once again, I'm sorry. And let me go deal with this on my own too. Like, that was a very, that was like expert level, just like, shut it down, like Olivia Pope, it's handled, like it's like she was good.
Well,
was good.
So when Brooke goes to tell Sheldon about it, to get Sheldon for the conversation with Min, Angie was in the room. And as we know, Angie loves Brooke, hates Min. And so when she was describing the situation, she was like, it actually worked out really well because we talked it out. And she said that, like, I have this problem with people too. And Kara, Angie was just like, did you see, though? Do you see what she did? She turned it around on you. She turned it around so that she's the victim. So anyway, Brooke goes to Carol afterward and she says, Carol, I was feeling so upset about this and I went to Sue and I went to other people about it. And like, for some reason, like in this crazy game, you were the only person to say, why don't you just go talk to her about it? Like, just like level headed, real world advice. And it totally worked. Thank you so much. We had such a great conversation. I love you so much, Carol. And Carol's like, I'm here for you. I want to help people. And they have like a little bit of a nice moment, which is definitely necessary for Brooke when it comes to Carol. So we'll see. The next time Carol's with Vanessa and Min, we'll see how much crap she talks about Brooke again. But it does seem like Brooke made some decent progress with Carol throughout the day. We then get Min and Vanessa. Now, after all of this went down, Min is now in bed, kind of like upset. Vanessa comes and checks in with Min. She says, like, oh, are you okay? How's it going? She's like, oh, man, I don't know. I don't know how, like, what to do. I don't know what to do. And Vanessa, I just want to say, Vanessa throughout the day has been, like, any conversation where anybody expresses any uncertainty, she goes, so are we not voting Michael out? So how do you feel about the vote? And she keeps getting interrupted and people keep not responding to her, but she keeps bringing it up over and over. Nobody else is talking about the vote all day long except for Vanessa. She keeps bringing. So are we vote? Are we going to? So are we going to do vote? Are we going to vote out of Brooke? Or is that what we're going to do? So she goes, So how are you feeling? You don't want to vote out Michael? And Min's like, no, I wasn't even thinking about that. I'm not thinking about game. She's like, oh, okay. So weird. Min says, no, it's Jamar. That she's worried that if she hooks up with Jamar, it will be amazing. And then she will just want to hook up a lot more. But then she'll be hounding him to hook up and he'll be like, nah. And then he'll have all the control. And she just knows that he's going to flirt with other girls in front of him to disrespect her. And that she'll look bad and it's not going to be good. And, you know, like, I see what he's doing with Sue. And you know what, Sue? I said to Sue, you're disrespecting your boyfriend with how you act with Jamar. If I was Sue's boyfriend, I would break up with her.
The projection. I just, like, girl, like, you know what? She's 28. He's 23. There is, like, such a huge mental gap between those two ages. I haven't even reached 28 yet, but I know that I feel so much different being 26 now than I did at 23. So I know at 28, I'm going to be, like, exponentially different. So You already see the signs in, like, what can happen with this relationship with him. You already know what could happen. He's 23, you're 28. You're already talking it out in your head, which leads me to believe that you've already had a similar situation with somebody else. And you're probably still going to go through with it. And that is the majesty of reality television.
Yeah. So that's continuing to go on there with Min. Well, I imagine that, like, this is definitely going to blow, like at some point or another, one of Sue or Min is going to have to go, because Min is never going to let this go. So that's about the day that we had. I do want to point out that just based on the amount that they're studying, right? If the HOH competition tonight is based on the board that they're studying and it's some kind of quiz, I want to kind of point out what I saw in terms of the studying, that I think people that might struggle with this HOH, depending on the kind of quiz it is, right? Because different quizzes have different levels of variance to them. Like if it's multiple choice and it's a point system, then that's like the best thing for the studying people. If it's like, two questions, like true or false or A or B, and it's an elimination system, then that's the most random, right? Elimination meaning you get one question wrong, you're eliminated. If it's points, that rewards people who know the material the best, because it gives them an opportunity to, over the course of time, prove that, you know, perform better. But when it's elimination, you just get one wrong, you're done. And if it's a 50-50 shot each way, a lot of random variance can happen in those. And so the people that study might not be the people that win. However, if it has anything to do with knowledge, people that struggle might be Angie, who talked about, like, she just can't remember things very well. She says, I tried to study and I fell asleep. That's what happened in college too. So Angie's going to have some trouble. Jamar, he was involved in some study sessions, but definitely did not seem as motivated, as sort of dedicated to the craft as a lot of the others. Maddie spent her entire day with Michael complaining. So, definitely can't, expect her to do well. Michael, if he, for some reason stays, didn't spend any time studying. He spent his whole time complaining with Maddie. Carol, did not do a lot with the studying. Min didn't study a ton throughout the day. She was focused on Sue. Kyle, I didn't really see what he was doing. He was kind of not on the feeds very often throughout the day.
Yeah,
he might have been studying. He's still sick. He was throwing up. So there's been a bug going around. It was funny. Vanessa and Min were talking about, like, oh man, they're going to have a whole segment about how we're all getting sick. And then they got dinged for it. Like, don't talk about, like, they are not allowed to talk about how they got sick. So I don't know why they think that's going to be a segment on the show. But anyway, Kyle was sick for most of the day, so I'm not sure if that's going to work out too well. I don't know how much he was studying. And then the people that were studying a lot, Brooke was studying a lot. She was trying to memorize as much as she could. Sheldon was studying a lot. JL studying a lot. Ree was studying a lot. Hira studying a lot. And Sue as well was really studying. Vanessa also was working on it, but again, she was also out and around a bit as well. I would expect one of those seven, Brooke, Sheldon, JL, Ree, Hira, Sue, or potentially Vanessa, to be the people that might benefit from a competition that has to do with this studying tonight. But again, it depends on the kind of variance that we see in the competition and the fact that it might be a competition to begin with. So we'll see.
Yep. It should be a good one. I kind of do feel bad for whoever does end up getting eliminated because of the fact that we just found out that there's no live audience. So that'll be a bit of a bummer to not at least be able to walk out to like a cheering bunch of fans. But, you know, I guess this coronavirus is really just making everybody super duper cautious. So
yes, they have canceled. The taping will be without an audience, which I understand that there are some people that are disappointed that they're not going to be able to go, but this is definitely the responsible choice here, that they should not be including an audience at this time. I do want to say, of course, stay safe out there, guys, this is definitely a crazy time in the world with the virus going around. We've seen that Survivor has delayed production on their next season. Amazing Race had to stop filming in the middle, not in the middle, but they were already filming a season. They had to stop. And so we're now seeing that the audiences are not going to be part of the live shows, I assume for the foreseeable future, this season. Yep. So, you know, wash your hands, do all the things, be safe out there. And that's what
even
we
the
have.
NBA shut that stuff down.
Yes, I was the like, NBA.
All the sports fans. Then I was like, oh, wait, we do the same thing for Big Brother. And I was like, shut me up real quick.
Yeah. And you know, the travel ban, like people from Europe can't come to the US for 30 days. That's nuts. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Big Brother. So, that's what we have for you from yesterday. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. I will, of course, be live tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 8 live feeds. We could still see an attempted flip here, at some point today. Not likely, though, because they are quickly running out of time. And then we'll have a new HOH tonight. We'll have a new plan. This HOH is probably going to be one of the most important HOHs of the season in terms of setting the tone for how the season is going to go. So it's going to be very important. All of the information that we're going to have for you tomorrow morning, it's going to be very important. Make sure you check out the Stockwatch, realitystockwatch.com. The window closes for trading at 4 p.m. Eastern. Now, that was because we had to avoid spoilers. But it is still in place. That's what we said. We're going to leave it there at 4 p.m. Eastern for now. So if you don't get your trades in before 4 p.m. Eastern, you will not be able to trade for the week. So tune in for that. But you can, if you want more information about how to play or advice about what to do, I will be live on Twitch today, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'll tweet it out when I go live. So check that out when it happens. And then again, of course, 5 p.m. Eastern, I will be live to talk about last night's Survivor episode with Big Brother alum Matt Hoffman, which should be a lot of fun. Yay. And of course, tonight after the eviction, we'll be live to talk about everything that we see there. So lots of stuff to fill your brains as you aren't allowed to leave the house. So that's what we have for you. Aman, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Aman Adwin, and also I am covering Drag Race this season with Fiona and Brent. So if you are a Drag Race fan as well, be sure to be on the lookout for all of that coverage this season.
All right. And of course, you can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Thank you once more for joining us. I'll see you soon.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.